Shalom. I am Jeff Mills, and you are listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teachings, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. Blessings, and may our Abba continue to guide you and lead you into all truth. Shabbat Shalom. Last time we ended with speaking about a man who had decided that he was going to make his own decisions about what it meant to be set apart. He challenged Moshe's authority, but he was really challenging and rebelling against Yahweh's definition of what being set apart meant. And it wasn't only that he decided for himself, but he convinced others that he was right, and that the way that he saw things was the correct way. Even though these people had seen what Moshe did and the example he set for them, they still followed Korah on his corrupt path of rebellion against Yahweh. These men were not just part of the crowd either. They were leaders. They were important men in the congregation, and other people looked up to them. And by following Korah, they set themselves apart, but not in the way that they had expected. Let's turn to number 16 in verse 1. And Korach, son of Yitzhar, son of Kehat, son of Levi, took both Datan and Aviram, the sons of Eliab, and On, son of Pelet, sons of Reuven, and they rose up before Moshe with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, called ones of the meeting, men of name, and they assembled against Moshe and against Aharon, and said to them, "Enough of you, for all the congregation is set apart, all of them, and Yahweh is in their midst. Why then do you lift up yourselves above the assembly of Yahweh?" And when Moshe heard, he fell on his face, and spoke to Korach and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning Yahweh shall make known who is his, and who is set apart, and bring him near to him, and let him bring near to him the one whom he chooses." We can't just say that we are set apart and then define for ourselves what that means. That is setting our own standard of righteousness and then demanding that Yahweh accept it. We set our own path and then tell Yahweh he has to accept what we are doing. I see this happening with so many people right now. They are defining Yahweh's word for themselves, and they are all doing what is right in their own eyes. Abba gives us great latitude within his word, and he allows us to make choices and decisions. But he does not have to accept us altering, tweaking, trying to find a way around and making over his word into what we want it to be. It is his word that sets us apart. So if we change that, then we're not living set apart to him anymore, are we? We're living set apart the way we want to live set apart. And that it doesn't work that way. Well, Yah did not seem to agree with Korah's version of what being set apart meant, did he? Number 16 and verse 16. Number 16 and verse 16. Then Moshe said to Korach, "Tomorrow you and all your company shall be there before Yahweh, you and they and Aharon, and take each one his fire holder, and you shall put incense in it, and let each one bring his fire holder before Yahweh, 250 fire holders, and you and Aharon, each one with his fire holder." So each one took his fire holder and put fire in it and laid incense on it and stood at the door of the tent of meeting with Moshe and Aharon. And Korach assembled all the congregation against them at the door of the tent of meeting. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe and to Aharon, saying, "Separate yourselves from the midst of this congregation and let me consume them in a moment." But they fell on their faces and said, "O El, Elohim of the spirits of all flesh, when one man sins, are you wroth with all the congregation?" And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to the congregation, saying, 'Move away from around the tents of Korach, Datan, and Aviram.'" So Moshe rose up and went to Datan and Aviram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Please turn away from the tents of these wrong men. Do not touch whatever belongs to them, lest you be consumed in all their sins." Then they moved away from around the tents of Korach, Datan, and Aviram, and Datan and Aviram came out and stood at the door of their tents with their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moshe said, "By this you know that Yahweh has sent me to do all these works, that they are not from my own heart. If these die as all men do, or if they are visited as all men are visited, then Yahweh has not sent me. But if Yahweh creates what is unheard of, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the grave, then you shall know that these men have scorned Yahweh." And it came to be, as he ended speaking all these words, that the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, with their households, and all the men with Korach, with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the grave, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all Israel who were round about them fled at their cry, for they said, "Let's the earth swallow us up." And a fire came out from Yahweh and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. Did Korah and those who followed him become leavened? Were they puffed up, prideful, rebellious, and choosing their own way? Yahweh separated them out and cut them off. And it is very interesting that Yah caused the ground to open and swallow them up, because they chose the way of the world, and it was the world that consumed them. And there's also a picture of the final judgment here. Korah and his followers had to come up before Yah, and Yah judged them. He judged them and separated them from the rest of Israel. And then they received the penalty for what they had done. It is just like when Yeshua separates the sheep from the goats. the final judgment, and the lake of fire, and those who are going down not to rise again. First Corinthians 5 and verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the entire lump? Therefore, cleanse out the old leaven, so that you are a new lump, as you are unleavened. For also Messiah, our Passover, was offered for us. So then let us observe the festival, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of evil and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. There is nothing for us to be puffed up and prideful about. Yeshua paid the price so that we could be passed over, so that we could be cleansed of the leaven that is within us, the leaven that we're carrying around, and so that we can walk in a set-apart life to our Abba. We have to be on guard against the leaven of evil and wickedness. That is what the adversary wants to plant in us. If we allow that leaven into our lives, then how many others will become infected besides us? Now, how many people did Korah infect with the leaven that was in him? And look how it spread. 250 leaders of the congregation? Does that remind you of the adversary and the rebellion he incited in the dwelling place of Yah? If we hold on to feelings of anger and resentment, if we hold on to things that others have done, if we refuse to forgive, if we are unhappy with our situation and want to blame someone, then we are providing the perfect environment for that bad leaven to begin growing and spreading within us. It takes the smallest fraction, of that leaven to begin growing and spreading. And it feeds as it grows. First Samuel 15, verse 22. Then Shmuel, Samuel said, "Does Yahweh delight in burnt offerings and slaughterings as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Look, to obey is better than an offering. To heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and stubbornness is as wickedness and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he also does reject you as sovereign." And Shaul said to Shmuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the command of Yahweh and your words, because I feared the people and listened to their voice. And now, please, pardon my sin and return with me, and let me bow myself to Yahweh." But Shmuel said to Shaul, "I do not return with you, for you have rejected the word of Yahweh, And Yahweh does reject you from being sovereign over Israel. It's a very serious thing to take Yah's words into our own hands and think that we can do with it as we will. His word is forever. You know, when we enter into covenant with him, we are agreeing to abide by his word. And man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Elohim. Shaul took matters into his own hands. He didn't wait for Samuel. And he paid a huge price for that, because he decided for himself what it meant to be set apart. He decided for himself that he was just as good as Samuel and that he could make the offerings instead of waiting. We cannot and should not ever force our concept of what it means to live set apart on anyone else. Our example should speak for us in showing what a set-apart life looks like to others. Our fruit should bear witness of who we are and who we belong to and obey. That is part of our calling. We have to be lights and we have to be examples. And Israel failed. Yahweh wanted to set them apart as a set apart nation to be an example to the rest of the world what living his way of life looked like. You know, the Pharisees wanted to force their interpretation of what a set apart life is on those who followed and looked to them. Matthew 16 and verse 6. Matthew 16 and verse 6. And Yeshua said to them, "Mind and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Because we brought no bread." But Yeshua, aware of this, said to them, "O you of little belief, why do you reason among yourselves because you brought no bread? Do you still not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you picked up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Yeshua's warning is clear. We should not become leavened with anything except the pure word of Yahweh. I cringe every time I hear someone say, "Eat the meat and spit out the bones," in reference to doctrines and teachings. Why would you even want to look at something, much less feed yourself on it, when you know it has something harmful in it? Why would you allow that leaven in where it can spread and contaminate everything it touches. Do we think we are so immune that we can feed on anything we want and not be affected by it? That's a pretty presumptuous and arrogant mindset to get into. If we are seeking to be set apart, that means we recognize and discern the things we should not go near or touch and move away from them. I have started to watch or listen to things that I have turned off after 2 or 3 minutes because it was full of leaven. That is what guarding means. What good does it do to be so careful with everything you eat that you check labels and ask questions and do research and then turn right around and allow leavened teachings and doctrines into your life that grow and spread and corrupt your mindset and corrupt your reasoning and your ability to separate and divide and take you further and further away from the pure word of Yah that we should be feeding on. There is plenty of leavened doctrines and teachings in the world to harm and affect everyone if we are not careful. Does living set apart mean that we cut ourselves off completely from everyone and everything? Do we have to completely remove ourselves to prevent being leavened? We have to use wisdom and discernment. We have choices. And all of us have probably been in a position at one time or another when we listened to things that we shouldn't have, and we watched things that we shouldn't have. And all the while we were thinking, I should turn this off. I should move away. I should get away from this. Yet we lingered. We have to guard. We have to be on watch. Guarding is being active. Guarding is an action. And we have to be on guard. It doesn't mean we have to be paranoid and have to jump at every shadow and, you know, look around every corner and, you know, to find what is lurking there. It means we use wisdom in guarding and we rightly divide. We know when something is not right. We know when something's harmful. There is a huge difference between someone trying to recruit and convince you and someone who needs help and is truly seeking truth. We have to be able to discern. Matthew 9 and verse 9. Matthew 9 and verse 9. And as Yeshua passed on from there, he saw a man called Matityahu sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And it came to be as Yeshua sat at the table in the house that, see, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his taught ones. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his taught ones, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And Yeshua, hearing this, said to them, Those who are strong have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not offering. For I did not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. Was Yeshua putting himself in danger of being leavened? Was he making himself unclean? No. He was meeting a need. He was not seeking to fill himself, but to feed others who needed the unleavened bread of life. We meet people where they are, and we be an example to them of what living set apart means and what it looks like. You know, other people who have contact with us, if they are searching for him and looking for him, they should see in us something that they long for, something that they yearn for, something that they want to have in their life. You know, if we run around constantly accusing and beating people down and beating them up with what they are doing, are they going to want to desire that life for themselves? Probably not. We have to remember who we are representing and what he has called us to. Matthew 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. It is impossible for a city to be hidden on a mountain, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it shines to all those in the house. Let your light so shine before men, so that they see your good works and praise your Father who is in the heavens. Do not think that I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to complete. For truly I say to you, till the heaven and the earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall by no means pass from the Torah till all be done. Does Yah want us to remove ourselves completely from our neighborhood and from society as a whole? Are we to run and hide somewhere for fear of being contaminated? Are we supposed to isolate ourselves somewhere, shut the world out, and wait for Yeshua's return? It is a big responsibility he gives us to be light. We must let our light shine. How can we hide what's within us? How can we put a shade over that light that burns so brightly within his people? Now, how can we hide the joy that is within us, the hope that is within us? When we are set apart, we generate light, and he wants others to see that light. Now, one time when I was on the coast, and it was foggy, you know, misty, as it often is when you're near the ocean, and I saw a beam from a lighthouse just shooting out into the night. And it was incredible to see how that beam could penetrate the darkness. Even in that mist, you know, in that damp kind of air, it almost seemed to amplify that light. You know, and I immediately thought about that verse we just read, you know, that you cannot hide that light. And that light is a beacon to others. And they're attracted to that light. You know, it's not something for us to become puffed up about or to boast in, because that light comes from Him. And what others see through our example is really Him. Because He is the one that kindled the fire that burns inside of us. And it is living by His Torah and guarding His commands that we are set apart to Him. We need His help in that. We can't be set apart to Him without His help, without His guidance, without Him being with us every moment of every day, because we would fall flat on our face and fail miserably without His help and without His guidance. John 17, verse 12. John 17, verse 12. When I was with them in the world, I was guarding them in your name, which you have given me. And I watched over them. And not one of them perished, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be filled. And now I come to you. And I speak these words in the world, so that they have my joy completed in them. I have given them your word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the wicked one. They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Yeshua prayed not that we would be taken out of the world, but that we would be protected. Why? So that we could be light and examples, and so that we could be a help and a resource for those who are coming out of this world and looking for the truth. The truth cannot go out to those who are seeking if there is no one to share the truth. And notice what he says in verse 16. Why are we not of the world? Because we have set ourselves apart from it. We separate ourselves from the world and surrender ourselves to Yah. We have to come out of the world. That is what living set apart is. You know, we can't be involved in the world and everything that's going on in it and still be His. Because we have to give everything up to Him. You know, all the worry, the concern. You know, we can't sit around and wring our hands every day and worry about where all of this is going. We know His plan, and we know what's going to unfold here. And it's all going to come to a head when Yeshua returns. And that's what this world is building towards right now. We need to focus on the future and the kingdom of Elohim and seeking it. We need to seek the kingdom first. James 4 and verse 1. James 4 and verse 1. Where do fightings and strivings come from among you? Do they not come from your pleasures that battle in your members? You desire and do not have. You murder and are jealous and are unable to obtain. You strive and fight and you do not possess because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask evilly in order to spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with Elohim or against Elohim? Whoever therefore intends to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Elohim. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? Does the spirit which dwells in us intensely crave unto envy? But he gives greater favor. Because of this, he says, Elohim resists the proud, but gives favor to the humble. Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Elohim. That's a pretty profound statement. And something we all need to think about deeply. It is a test for us to live in this world and not be overcome by it. And Yah knows that. In some ways, that is the ultimate test, isn't it? Being able to set ourselves apart out of this world, away from its temptations and all of the things that it offers. It looks very attractive, doesn't it? We are supposed to overcome the world and this physical life to live set apart to Yah. If he just removed everything in our path, there would be no overcoming, would there? And what would we learn if there were no trials and tests to shape us and mold us? You know, when we look around and see what everyone else is doing around us, it really makes you understand what being set apart is, doesn't it? We are to remain separate from the world and not get caught up in all of the things it offers. Those things separate us from Yah. And he tries us. If we say that we are his, that is a pretty bold statement to make if you think about it and think about what that means. Are we up to the test? Can we really be his? You know, it's easy to say that we are his when times are good, isn't it? But what about when things get bad? What about even your life being threatened and put on the line? Will we be his then? Nothing can be proven until it is tried, can it? Judges 2, verse 21. Judges 2, verse 21. I also shall no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Yehoshua left when he died, in order to try Israel by them, whether they would guard the way of Yahweh to walk in them as their fathers guarded them or not. So Yahweh left those nations without driving them out at once, and did not give them into the hand of Yehoshua. He left them there intentionally as a test, even to provoke. So, should we keep ourselves in a situation, even though all the signs are pointing that we should leave? Do we stubbornly hang on and cling to something because it is what we want, or because it is what we want to do? Remember Avram. He just went when Yah told him to. He didn't ask questions. He didn't try to reason. He didn't worry about how he was going to do it, or how he was going to get there, or even what was waiting for him there. He just went when Yah told him to. If we don't remove ourselves from a situation when we know we should, that is not really being set apart, is it? Genesis 19, verse 12. Genesis 19, verse 12. And the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? A son-in-law and your sons and your daughters and whomever you have in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we are going to destroy this place, because the cry against them has grown great before the face of Yahweh, and Yahweh has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for Yahweh is going to destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be as one joking. And when morning dawned, the messengers urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he loitered, the men took hold of his hand and his wife's hand and the hands of his two daughters, Yahweh having compassion on him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. The messengers literally had to pull Lot and his family out of that city. If messengers of Yah came to me and told me to leave, I'm gone. I'm out of here. What more do you need to be convinced? Being set apart is being in harmony with Yah and what He wants from us. We can discern what His will is. And if we go against that, it never ends well. Living set apart is a life of sacrifice. And I think many people don't realize that and don't expect that. They don't think about what they're going to have to give up to be set apart. And we have to be willing to give all, because our Messiah gave all, didn't he? And why should we think that we are better than he is, that we should not have to suffer loss or give up anything? We surrender to him, and our lives are no longer our own. They never were anyway. Yeshua paid a heavy price to redeem us back to Yah, because we had separated ourselves from him through our transgression and through seeking our own way. The moment we chose to start seeking Yah, we gave up our lives. And we gave up seeking after our own way. Because we should be seeking and pursuing Him. We must go through a complete transformation and surrender all that we are to Him. That is frightening to people. It scares people to think about giving up who they are and what they are, and giving up all of those things that they think they need or want. All of those things that eat up all of their time and effort. He makes us over into what His vision of us is, and then we walk in that way. And on the path that He sets us on. Not our own path, but the path that He sets us on. That is being set apart to Him. Romans 12 and verse 1. Romans 12. And verse 1. I call upon you, therefore, brothers, through the compassion of Elohim, to present your bodies a living offering, set apart, well-pleasing to Elohim, your reasonable worship. You know, what He's asking us to do is not too hard, and it's not unreasonable, is it? With all that He is doing for us, is it unreasonable for us to surrender ourselves to Him and be a living sacrifice to Him? Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Not conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you prove what is that good and well-pleasing and perfect desire of Elohim. He even changes our minds. You know, we take on a new mindset. We have a new purpose. We have new desires. And they are not of this world, are they? All those that He has called and chosen, He has set apart for a purpose. Everything that Yah does is for a purpose. He does nothing without reason. We are heading towards a time when Yah will call upon those who have set themselves apart to Him and guard His commands. There is a world system coming that will seek to exert its power and authority over all of mankind and control everything they do. And Yah tells His people to come out and be separate. Isaiah 52, verse 8. Isaiah 52, verse 8. The voice of your watchmen, they shall lift up their voices together. They shout for joy because eye to eye they see the return of Yahweh to Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For Yahweh shall comfort His people. He shall redeem Jerusalem. Yahweh shall lay bare His set-apart arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the deliverance of our Elohim. Turn aside, turn aside. Come out from there, touch not the unclean. Come out of her midst, be clean, you who bear the vessels of Yahweh. For you shall not come out in haste, nor go in flight. For Yahweh is going before you, and the Elohim of Israel is your rear guard. It's a beautiful picture. What an amazing opportunity we have to set ourselves apart as our Abba is set apart, and to follow the example of our Messiah, to come out of this world and be separate, to be someone different, to be transformed and changed and made over into what and who Yah wants us to be. May Yah give us the courage, the strength, the boldness, the discernment, the wisdom, and all that we need to be set apart to Him and to remain set apart to Him, no matter how we are tempted and tried and challenged, no matter what is placed before us. May we serve Him with our whole hearts and with everything that is in us. Amen.
Yivarekika Yahweh, Vayishmareka. Ya'er Yahweh panaveleka, vihuneka. Yisa Yahweh panaveleka, vayashem laha, shalom. Yahweh bless you and protect you. Yahweh make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh turn back His face towards you and give you shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
You have been listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teaching, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. May our Abba bless you richly throughout this coming week and guide you into His truth. Shavua Tov.